A reading from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, returned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? There was none of them found return and give praise to God except this foreigner." And he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." For the word of God among us, in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Will you pray for me? God of our hearts, God of the unknown, God of our pain, and God of our healing, let my words this morning be pastoral, hopeful, and whole for this congregation of your beloved. Amen. We can understand many of the names for God linearly and intellectually without much of any issue. These descriptions for God concisely explain and verify a God who we understand in how we regularly experience God in our lives, in nature, and indeed within our progressive theologies. These names do not challenge our understanding. They reaffirm what we know to be true and the promises we experience lived through God. These names include God of love, God of peace, Creator God, Holy God, God of grace, God of the universe, God within us, God of, insert happy word here, joy, play, creativity, smiles, puppies, rainbows, kittens, justice. These are the descriptions of God that we understand easily and accept because they explain a God who works through us and our lived experience of grace in concrete ways. Very reassuring names for God and God's promises. These are the names, of course, that I use for God when I'm writing a pastoral prayer or engaging in pastoral care with any of you. These are the names that reaffirm the promises we experience as progressive Christians as true. Now, on the other hand, as progressive Christians, we can easily dismiss as antithetical to our theology any naming or framing of God that supports hatred and anger or ridicule, like the antiquated and false God of manifest destiny. As the wonderful Reverend Lillian Daniel of the UCC Daily Devotional Series recently said, "Whatever you call God, just don't ever ascribe hate to God's holy name." Amen? We easily recognize that a God who is pro-colonization or subjugation or ridicule is an idol or a false God, for they operate outside of God's promises. As liberation theology says, outside of God's orientation towards an arc, towards justice. These are false ways of seeing God in the world, an oppressive and hateful God. This is the same God that was named and claimed by South African supporters of apartheid, the Southern segregationists, and many others throughout our history, including Christopher Columbus. It is a God who promises false things like dominance, control, money, power. So for the most part, as progressive Christians, we can understand most identities for God as either true and affirming of God's promises or false based on our theology and our experience. We affirm a God of love, and we question a God of anger or oppression. Now, between these two extremes, there are a lot of names for God that fall into a more ambiguous category for us. For us as progressive Christians who are science-centric, modern, and thoughtful. There's one name for God in particular that I find particularly challenging, and it is this: healing or healer God. It is a name for God that I feel it is my job today, given the text that was just read, to talk with you about as your minister for pastoral care and visits. God promises through Christ in this passage to be a healing God. And as we hear, most of our prayers during prayers of the people are for what? Healing. And the prayers I receive through the prayer tree are for healing. Most of the prayers we ask and receive are for a healing God. Healer God is a name for God that is a promise that puzzles us, that often angers us, and even can alienate us from God and each other when we're in pain. It is a name for God that we call on in our lives when we're struck with sudden illness, yet we don't always know what we're asking for when we ask to be healed. Are we asking to be returned to how we were before? Before the illness, before the divorce, before the crash, before the layoff, before the recession, before the crying, before that argument. Before. Heal us, God, we pray. Make it as if it never even happened. Rewind and erase history and aging for us. What does before really mean anyway when we're talking about the present time? Good as new. Anyone ever hear the expression good as new? Do we really want to be new again anyway? Healing God, what does healing mean for us as progressive, socially and scientifically aware Christians? We all know what popular culture hearing healing looks like. Television preachers spin and misuse the story we just heard from the Gospel of Luke as a promise that God will heal us in real and concrete human ways rather than doing something new. Turn on television any really late. I hope you're all sleeping at this time when these are on, but if you turn on the TV really late at night or really early in the morning, you will see a parade of infomercials. Televangelists giving healing power of God a bad name through a distorted theology. You all know the routine. Send us 3 easy payments and tithes of $50 apiece, and you'll receive your very own healing handkerchief. As seen on television commercials and in real life practice on this show this evening, if you place this handkerchief on your forehead, it will immediately cure you of all ailments. There's one catch, though. You have to have enough faith to empower its work. If only you have enough faith, if only you're a true enough Christian, the handkerchief will surely do its magic. It also might help you to win the lottery, just saying. These are snake oil salesmen using the gospel to make a profit on the back of people's pain and suffering. The sad part is how these televangelists actually target lower income populations with their scams. When I was at Emory, one of my colleagues did a really interesting study of this theology of exploitation rather than true healing. The worst part is the number of people who have lost faith altogether. Because despite all of their prayer for healing, nothing concrete happens. This, of course, leads to big questions. Did I ever really believe? What is wrong with my faith? Does not God not care about me or hear my prayers? Am I too sinful for healing? This is how a physical injury can turn into a spiritual wound that festers for many for the rest of their lives. How do we then, as progressive Christians, reclaim God's promise and God's name of healer? God, how do we reclaim God from these practitioners of a theology of economic highway robbery? So if healing does not mean magical gimmicks that make us exactly as we were before, what can it mean for us as a promise of God? What does our prayer mean? Let me tell you a short story. I know you all have heard some of my stories about my stint as a rural Iowa hospice chaplain. It was a pretty profound experience for me. One of my first visits was with a woman who had been suffering from MS for 10 years. And she was in her final days of MS, where her brain was completely alert and active. She'd been a librarian, but her body was a trap, a prison around her. And I went to pray with her as a chaplain, a new chaplain right out of college. And she just looked at me and out at the world with fear and anger. I couldn't blame her, but I struggled to know what to pray for. My progressive Christian, pro-science theology knew that a prayer for healing was inappropriate and could cause more pain. But God is a God of healing. So I went back to the hospice office without having really offered much to the woman in terms of prayer, and I asked my supervisor, who was very wise, what do I do? What do we pray for? And this is what she told me. Our job as hospice chaplains, and this applies to ministers and Christians, of healing is not to allow people to give up on hope or to ask them to ever stop healing, but our job is to help them reframe hope and healing. God's healing and hope are always with us for something new, or for a day without pain, or for peace, or for acceptance, or for forgiveness. Hospice chaplains are not miracle workers. They are hope rethinkers and reframers. Ministry is not about the wellness of before, but it is about the wellness that God offers us in new ways, even till the end. God is always a God of healing, Plymouth, but it might take place in ways we never expect or understand or accept. I went back that next day to meet with that same patient, and I offered a very difficult prayer. I prayed for patience with her, for God's emotional healing and wholeness, for comfort for lack of pain, and we prayed for a swift and comfortable death. She did die the next day, peacefully, in answer to her prayers. That is the prayer that she wanted and she needed. It wasn't the prayer that I, as a young, hopeful college student, wanted to give, or the result that God seemed to promise, but it was what God hath promised: renewed hope and healing beyond measure or words. Healing is a hard word and promise to navigate because culture has burdened it so in American Christianity. But it is a name of God that we need to reclaim, and we need it more than ever in these times as we have new woundedness in our public discourse. Healing our community, Fort Collins, does not mean getting rid of the new stadium. It's too late. It does not mean stopping new housing projects next door or doing anything to make us just like we were back in 1960, 1970, 1980, 1990, 2000. It's for healing for who we can be in 2020 and beyond. It's about going beyond the perceived wounds, and healing helps us see what God has in store for us in finding new healing potential in our reality. We can fight change and pine for the good old days. Some cities continue to do that. Or we can accept with a balance of grace and action what we are becoming by the providence of God. This healing of hope, optimism, seeking the new ways of being whole are what God has promised. Even if we recover from the broken arm or receive new health as a gift, we are never the same as we were before the struggle. Healing, indeed, but never new again. In the story of the leper, notice Jesus doesn't heal them instantaneously on the spot, but he sends them away on their journey for healing in the interim, on the way between here and there. And only one comes back. Let us pray like the leper who is healed on the journey in our story, as we continue to thank God for the newness of today as it offers us. It won't look like yesterday. I can promise you that from this pulpit. But it can look like a new kind of wholeness we are not ready to quite name yet. Amen.